To every story, there is a heart. There's a message. There's something that speaks to how life unfolds. And this week, I was reading the story of Brian McCauley, born blind, but loving sports so much that he so much wanted to be a commentator, to be able to do the play calling. Having never seen a game, he had a guy who began to realize that his passion was so much the heart of his life that he began to help him become the commentator for his high school football games. Brian McCauley, now in the Boston, Massachusetts area, is somewhat of a celebrity because he's never seen it, but he feels it, he knows it, and he lives it because somebody else cared enough to help him learn what it was all about. And when it comes to the Lord caring about us, he's always been concerned enough for us to know what the real heart of his story is all about. And today we look at the heart of our story because 5 years ago, yesterday, was birthed a small congregation of people who came together to be one. One in him. From every race and every creed, from every background, came into this fellowship people who desired that they would always live at the heart of his story, not just our story. And you see, the heart of our story is really all about him. For when you look at what happened with one heart and the birthing of that, you realize in the New Testament, it was there that the Bible says in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts that it was there that their hearts were stirred and their spirits were shaken and the building was moved and their lives were transformed. And all of a sudden, they began to experience something they'd never experienced before. They found a confidence and a boldness. They found an assurance. They found a name that was above every name. They found a peace that passed understanding. They found an awareness that what God intended to do with their life far surpassed what could they do on their own. It far surpassed anything that they could put in their own parameters. And you see, for you and I, the only way for our story to live beyond us is for it to be all about him. For if our story just is about us, then it misses the message that is really the message that changes any person's heart and life. And when you think about it, you have to ask yourself a few questions when we think about your story and my story. Do you recall, what does it take to shake you up? When something really grabs you, stirs you, motivates you, challenges you. You know, sometimes when you hear something, it grips you. You see, for some of you, you will go home today and you will type in Brian McCauley on your computer and you will Google his name and you'll read the story of this young boy and you'll listen to the interview, the video interview, and you'll realize something. That as awesome as his story is, the heart of the story is somebody who cared enough to help a blind boy see and made a difference in his life. And you see, you and I, we need to realize that there are things that ought to shake us up, that ought to move us, ought to stir us, ought to challenge us, because those are things that grab hold of us and move us forward for a lifetime. And so think about what it is that the last time something really gripped you. You were watching a video a few moments ago, and in that video, there was a picture there of a two teenage orphan children in Romania that were holding my hand and praying as we interacted on that particular day a few years ago. I can never forget it, because the longer they held my hand, the more they gripped and pushed against my hand and squeezed it tighter and tighter. When we were finished praying, they looked at me and said, "We've never held our father's hand, but now we've held the hand of a man who could be our father." And as that grip, you see, that shook me. That shook me. The last time I was in Romania, I went to try to find one of those girls that moved on to Denmark, the one with the curly hair. If you want to learn how to cut hair, I guess she dealt with it all of her life and decided, well, you know what? I'm going to learn how to take care of this myself. But the other one still lives in Romania, no longer living in the orphanage. I went to try to find her. I couldn't find her. And the day that we left on a plane, I got a phone call, and they said that Leora is here looking for you. She heard you were looking for her. And you know, that experience shook me. It shook me because we need to remember that we only get to live once. And God has called each one of us to accept our assignment, to take our responsibility, not take it lightly but seriously, and become everything he wants us to be. You see, the best is yet to come because he continues to shake those who trust him. But not only that, though, when you think about your own journey, you have to ask yourself a second question, because when you think about Acts chapter 4, you realize that there's something that transpires with regard to those who are living at this time. You see, up until this time, they've only been introduced to religion, and then they've been introduced to following Jesus. But then Jesus has ascended in Acts 1. And as he's ascended, they get introduced to a vibrant new way of life, because the Bible says that they began to be bold and confident, assured of what God could do. And when you look at this, you realize you have to ask yourself the same question. Are you open to a vibrant way of life? You see, what's interesting is it's easy for us to be lulled to sleep and to just function and to exist and miss the best of life. And yet God intends for us to have a vibrant way of life. In fact, when you look at this, I mean, it's in this particular place that the Bible says that everything they had belonged to no one, it belonged to everyone. I want to ask you a question. If I came up to you after church today and said, you know what, I need to use your car this week. I need your keys. What would be your first thought? Your first thought would be, get your own car. Or what's wrong with your car? That's probably what you're thinking right now, isn't it? But I mean, imagine if you're in Acts chapter 4. A guy drives up in a brand new car and he walks into church. The place is shaken. Hearts are changed. And somebody walks up and says, can I borrow your car? He said, absolutely. Here they are. Here's the keys. Would you like to stay at my house tonight? It just opens up more and more. Why? Because something vibrant had happened in their life. And one of the things that we must realize is that Jesus intends for us to live out of a vibrant, beautiful expression of who he is in our lives. And that's what allows our lives to have meaning and purpose. When you're around somebody that's dull and predictable, it seldom brings a vibrancy to you. But when, listen carefully, when you encounter somebody who has a vibrancy about them, that has a love for them, who something about them changes the way you look at life, that is what motivated the church to have such a great accomplishing track record as the book of Acts unfold. And by the way, all of it came out of persecution, difficulty, trial, heartaches. Listen, anything of value, of significance comes at the price tag of us being willing to do whatever it takes. And the reason we don't always experience a vibrant life is we sometimes just want it our way instead of God's way. And God's way is a vibrant, dynamic, life-changing commitment to what it is he wants to do with each one of our lives. And so ask yourself this final question, because when you read Acts chapter 4, you realize something. This particular passage has been quoted all through the ages to churches to remind them that there is something that can happen when the church gets on fire for God. And here's what you have to ask yourself. What will history write about us? What will it say? If history was written about all that you've lived out so far, would it say that you yielded to temptation or you're overwhelmed by circumstances? Would it say that you found yourself pained beyond his purpose and as a result you missed his best? Would it say that, would history say that you've allowed something, some conflict, some heartache, some situation, some religious belief to keep you from a vibrant way? Would it be that history would say of you that you had an opportunity, but you set it aside in order to pursue what you wanted? You see, when you get to Acts chapter 4, you realize here is a story. Here is a story of a church that would not allow anything to get in the way of it becoming one heart and one soul. And you ask yourself, well, how did they get there? They had two distinguishing qualities that stood out. They had an openness and a willingness. And that openness and willingness opened the door for the church to end up exploding all over. And when you look at the missionary journeys, when you look at the impact of what transpired, you realize something, that the gospel went out all over the world, all over the known world, because the church was empowered as it opened its doors to impact the lives of those who had come there. And you think about it, these are uneducated people, ill-equipped to do something great. And yet, the Bible says that they were the torchbearers that carried the light into a dark world. Peter and John, they said very clearly, we have to speak of his name, for it is a name that changes the world. And so you and I need to look at our lives today. And I want to just process with you, because we are talking about the story, the heart of our story. I want to ask you to think about two different things regarding this passage. And we're going to begin reading, if we could, in the 28th verse. And it's there that you see that God had destined the church to move forward beyond its persecutions, its trials, and difficulties. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 28. Notice what it said. In order to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur, and now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, watch this, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, And they were filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, filled up and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own. But all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. When you look at this, you realize there were two very distinguishing qualities that really set this church apart, that moved it forward. The first one was they were open to follow wherever he would lead them. There was an openness to whatever it was that God had called on them to do. Now, you read that and you realize that what were they willing to do? They were willing to go up against those who were saying to them, this won't work. They were willing to go up against those who obviously rejected him because of religion. You see, there was a pressure pushing against them. And watch this carefully. The world pushes at us with a pressure to cause us to compromise our convictions, to cause us to yield to something less than what his best is, to cause us to be restricted instead of open to seeing him do great thing. And what it comes back to is whether we're open to letting him lead us wherever and whatever he would have us do. You see, when you're open, something happens in your life. You ever talk to somebody with a closed spirit? What happens when you talk to someone like that? No matter what you say, they reject it, don't they? Because their spirit's closed. You say something, they no. You say something else, they say no. And they're closed, their spirit is closed. And yet here, what happens in this church is all of a sudden, they become one because they're open. And it's interesting what you see because a couple things transpire. The first thing you see is the confidence that they get because they have been open. Look, if you would, at verse 29. Notice what it says there. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. What was their confidence in? They had the confidence to share his word. His word was what illuminated a path for those who were in darkness. His word would transform the heart of anybody who was troubled. They had a confidence. And you see, when you look at Hebrews, you realize the Bible says, don't throw away your confidence, for it has a great reward. And confidence is that assurance and awareness that God is with you and watching over you. And here's what happens to them. They've gone through difficulty. They've gone through heartache. They've been through lots of pressure. They've been told, hey, this is not the way to do it. And as a result of that, they come back and say, Lord, you know what? You destined us to do this. This was your destiny. This was your plan. This is what you had laid out for each one of our lives. You see, if you'd asked me 7 or 8 years ago if God had a plan in which there would be a one-heart church and I'd be pastoring and I'd be involved in it, I would have said to you 7 or 8 years ago, I don't have any idea whatsoever. There was one person in this room who had that very clear awareness years before One Heart was ever birthed. He would come to me and he would say to me, you know, if you ever start a church, I want to go with you. I want to be a part of what it is that you sense God leading you to do. You see, he had a confidence in what it was that God ultimately intended to do. And here you see them, they have this confidence to share his word. And it's interesting, their confidence doesn't rest in them. Their confidence rests in the power of his word at work in their lives. And you see, you and I, our power doesn't come from us. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. As we take his word and as it illuminates inside of our lives, then we begin to say, you know what? This word speaks to who I am. This word speaks to where I should go. No good thing does he withhold from those who love him. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. For the Lord looks to and fro across the whole earth for one heart that's totally his. You see, the reality is, When his word becomes our confidence, we become equipped people in order to open our hearts up to see our lives make a difference in someone else. But you have to ask yourself, am I open? But there's another thing you see here. Not only were they open, they began to operate very clearly under the authority of his name. Under the authority of his name. Look if you would and see what happens here, because they were living through the power of his name. Look at verse 30. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You see, here's what happened. They got a very clear understanding that there was one name above every name. You see, we live in a day where religion tries to make it a big, giant thing. Listen carefully. It begins with Jesus becoming the author and finisher of your faith. It begins with us understanding that God sent his son so that we could have life and have it abundantly. And you see, our story is about operating under his name, because his name is powerful. You ever notice when you're in the midst of something big that's critical, that challenges every ounce of the fiber of who you are, you don't get into one of those big, giant, eloquent prayers where everybody else is listening. You don't have any pharisaical prayer at that time. You go to, as a publican, you say, Lord, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Why? Because you know something. If he's willing to die for you, he's willing to help you in the midst of your journey. It is in the power of his name. So ask yourself the question, how open are you? And you may be sitting here saying, you know what? I'm not even sure what all God has for me. That's what makes this journey exciting. I mean, what would it be like if you got a printout today? When you got home, heaven sent you a printout. And on that printout, it would say, okay, on this day, Bill, you will be doing such and such. And then it goes through and it said, Bob, on this day, you'll be doing this. And Angie, on this day, you'll be doing this. Could you live until that day got there? No, you'd be sitting there thinking all the time going, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? It would totally mess up your life, wouldn't it? Because you would all of a sudden have, you would always all of a sudden have everything. But what you needed more than anything else was just the confidence that he was with you and that his name still had power. And I'm going to tell you, when you find yourself on the edge of eternity, your prayer will be centered in the name of Jesus, because it is at his name every knee will bow. It is at his name that every heart is transformed. It's at his name that we see our lives change. And that's why you and I are a station for sharing his name. We're for sharing the gospel, sharing the heart of our story. Do you see, the heart of our story is that Jesus died so that we as sinners could come into a right relationship with him, and that he would come into our lives and change our lives forever. And the most precious thing happened between services. A sweet little girl walked up to me, and she leaned up against me, and she hugged me, and she touched my cheek, and she said, I want to be baptized. Well, you know, it was one of the sweet moments you can't ever replace. And I looked at her, and I said, is Jesus live in your heart? She said, yes. Ask my mom. You know, I thought, what a great testimony. Let me ask you this. If somebody asked your mom, would they say Jesus lives in your heart? You see, the reality is, moments like that, those are treasures because of the power of Jesus' name. The same thing happened to me last week when a young boy walked up to me and said, you know what? I want to be baptized. And I looked at him and said, what about, have you given your heart to Jesus? And he told me about giving his heart to the Lord. You see, at his name, we have the capacity to be open to whatever he would lead us to do. And listen carefully. At the moment that you begin to close down what it is God wants to do in your life, at that moment, watch this, you're no longer one heart. You have a divided heart. Because when we start saying, well, I can't do this or I can't do that, what are we saying? That God is not able. And what do we know about God? He is always able to do whatever he wants to do. And aren't you glad he can do whatever he wants to do in your life and mine? I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful that the story that we live out is bigger than us. It's all about him. But not only were they open, but there's a willingness. The second thing you see, there's a willingness. Not just opens, okay, I will do it. I'm open to it. But a willingness. And watch this. Look if you would, because as the verses unfold in verses 31 and 32, you see something. They were willing all of a sudden to lay their lives before him. So watch this. They're open to do whatever it is God's called them to do, but they're willing to lay their lives before him. And you know, when we're willing to lay our lives out, what we really say is, not my will, but thine be done. Not what I want, but what you want. And that's what happens here, because watch what happens in verse 31, 32. Verse 31, first of all, notice what happens. It says that, and then when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. What do we see here? They were shaken by his spirit. In other words, something happened. All of a sudden, something powerful began to happen inside their life. It's like that moment when you sense that God is up to something very powerful in your life, and you begin to feel that, and you begin to yield to it, and you begin to recognize it. You see, I look back across the span of these last 5 years in particular. I've watched him do what only he could do in places I never dreamed I would go, in moments in church that I never dreamed would ever transpire. It's something about waking up. And listen carefully. For 5 years, every Sunday morning, I wake up with a very clear awareness that I am willing to do whatever it is that he asked me to do. And when you do that, what happens? The Spirit can shake you and move your heart. But not only were they shaken by the Spirit. Look on, though. It says also that as they were shaken, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. You see, what did they do? They boldly began to share his promises. And think about how this unfolds. First of all, they have this very clear confidence that they can rest in his word. But when they get that confidence to rest in his word, to allow his word to move them forward, they all of a sudden start getting bold. And you've been around bold people before. I mean, people who just can put it out there and say, this is the way it needs to be, and this is what you need to do. And when you think about it, everybody in the church at this juncture in Acts chapter 4, they were all bold. Wouldn't it be awesome if he took every one of us and made us all bold? Boldly equipped to accomplish his purpose. He can do that. All you have to do is be willing. All you have to do is say, you know what? I'm willing to do that. Not only were they boldly sharing his word, but look on the next verse, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. The congregation of those who believed. See that word believed? Here's what happened. They all of a sudden didn't have to rest in themselves. They could believe God for great things. They could trust him for great things. What did they do? They united their hearts to experience the miraculous. You see, if you stand on the threshold of a great challenge, you don't want people standing beside you who said, well, you know what? That's your problem. You stay with it yourself. You don't want someone saying, well, you know what? I can't be with you during that part of your journey. They united their hearts to experience the miraculous. And it's interesting because what was the miraculous for them at this moment? It was that they finally realized that what they had belonged to God and had only been entrusted to them. Do you realize some of us spend our entire lives trying to figure that out? Trying to figure out the fact that what it is that we have, it is what God has entrusted to us, that he owns. And they united their hearts to experience a miracle. You see, who would want to be in a church that when you face a crisis, the church would say, well, you know what? We're not into crisis kind of people. I mean, if you got that kind of, you need to go down to such and such church. Now, you wouldn't want to be in a place like that, would you? You'd want to be in a place where someone said, you know what? We're going to stand beside you. We're going to boldly trust that God is going to be with you. We're going to share his promises with you because we realize that his word never comes back. But you see, their hearts were united. And then you'll notice what happens because in the next verse, something transpired that really defined the entire early church. Look, if you would, verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. You see, here's what happened. They encountered grace and it changed everything. It says that abundant grace came upon them, which meant when you look at the word abundance, it has to do with more than we could ever define. It has to do with us encountering something that is so powerful that it shapes the rest of our lives and beyond because it prepares us for eternity. It is by grace that we are saved. Through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Don't you love the fact that his grace came upon one heart and they boldly declared what it is that God intended for their life? You see, if you and I are to be who he wants us to be, we have to be willing to understand the heart of our story. And the heart of our story is being open to do whatever he leads us to do. And as we open our hearts up to him, we willingly say, Lord, not my plan, not my will, but thine be done. How do we summarize this story? I think as I've read this passage over and over again, and I think about how important our commitment is. And our commitment needs to be very clear because, you know, the truth is we can't be everything to everyone. What we can be is we can be who God's called us to be. And you see, through the years, there have been some who've come our way and they were looking for a church that had already arrived. And listen carefully, one heart will probably never arrive until we arrive at the gate. One heart will always be one getting ready for the next mission, the next opportunity, the next thing that we have. Our focus is not to create so many programs that it dizzies people in the midst of their journey. Our focus is instead to have purpose with regard to whatever we do so that we can connect into people's lives. And so when we think about it, I think about three things that are very distinctive about where we're headed. I just want to share them very quickly. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, maybe it's never been so clear as it is today. When we are separated by sin, what takes us into a right relationship is someone who gives us a bridge to cross over. And the bridge across our sin is the right relationship with Jesus. And when we come to know Jesus, it changes everything. And you see, our commitment needs to be so clear that anyone who walks in here would realize that this is the day of salvation. This is the hour. This is the acceptable hour. And so think about these three things that as I look at this passage, they stand out to me. The first one is a belief that the best is yet to come. I mean, if we didn't believe that, what would happen to us? We would always think that what's behind us is better than what's in front of us. Listen, as we march towards his ultimate purpose for our lives, as we march towards eternity, the best is yet to come. Aren't you glad that that's the way with our life? I mean, anybody ever been through a valley and you say, boy, you know what? Back then it was better on the mountaintop and now I'm in this valley And yet the reality is the best is yet to come for those who yield themselves to him. Not only is the best yet to come, but when you look at this passage, you also realize that as they began to experience what God had for them, they had a willingness. Watch this. They had a willingness to walk through the door. And we must always be willing to walk through the door. When we look at what the psalmist said, better to stand on the threshold of the doorway of the temple than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We've got to always be open and willing to walk through that door. And see, we don't know what all that is on the other side. What we know is that Jesus is on the other side. What did he say in the Gospel of John? I am the door. I am the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will come in and sup with me. You see, we've got to be willing. And if we're willing, as we do that, we'll begin to see the best is yet to come and better thing God has planned for each one of us. One final thing, when you look at this passage, when I look at it, it says one heart. And our hearts must always rejoice in what it is he's up to and the way in which he works. Our hearts must always rejoice in all his ways. You see, I would have known 5, 10 years ago all that God had in store for us. But here's what I've discovered. It all takes a simple step of saying, I am open. I am willing. Because the heart of our story is that we would have one heart and one soul. And when we have that, we have what it takes to touch the world, to impact hearts. And it may very well be that you're here and today you realize that you need to be a part of this fellowship. You need to become a part of one heart. You need to give yourself to becoming a part of the story as the story unfolds for the future. If the Lord's speaking to your heart about joining this church, about giving your heart to him, maybe you realize that it's that at that moment that you say yes to him that everything begins to come together. It all fits together perfectly. If you're at that place, then we want to invite you to come and experience what it is to be a part of a family that will not look at you for where you are, but will believe where God is going to take you. What a great place to invest your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. Speaks to our lives. Thank you for the one heart story. It is your story. And I pray, Lord, for those who need to respond today, to join our fellowship, to become a part of one heart on this 5th anniversary Sunday. May they step out in faith. May they believe you for great things. May they understand that the best is yet to come. And may they be willing to follow you in all of your ways. Lord, we bless you for the opportunity to be able to be in your house. And Lord, move in this fellowship. We rejoice just when we think about the songs we have sung. Come, Lord Jesus, come. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is holy. He is Jesus. And it is in your name that we pray. And we ask you to move in Jesus' name. Amen.